I'm Rich Kramer, and I'm in studio with members of the group Voters with Facts. And first, I'd like to introduce Dave Wood. He's the spokesman for the group. Dave, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us, Rich. We really appreciate it. Now, Voters with Facts is a volunteer group that is dedicated to informing our city and county residents about the Confluence Project and also about our city's finances. Our goal is quite simple. We wish to fully vet this project. It's our opinion that a certain quantity of facts gets out there, but the full story, unfortunately, oftentimes hasn't fully gotten out there. And that's our goal. You can learn more about our organization. We've got actually a wealth of information on our website called www.confluencereferendum.com is its website. We have many concerns about the confluence, but our three major ones, which we'd like to focus on today, are first and foremost, number one, the potential it has to hurt our local theater groups. Rent and ticket prices will go up. There's no doubt about that. And we feel that many times the limit of what you can charge for these tickets for families has already been hit. There's also the concern that this theater venue, how are our local groups going to compete with out-of-city and out-of-state groups that are going to be actually bankrolling this expensive venture too? Will they be able to compete for stage space? There's a $200,000 backstop that the city's supposed to support, and that's supposed to come from our already overspent hotel room tax fund. In fact, this year in 2014, it's projected to be in arrears by over $50,000. So where's that money going to come from? And that same budget supports a lot of our theater groups. ECRAC currently gets $95,000. I've heard figures that they expect to get another $66,000 out of this going forward if the project goes forward. Well, where's that money going to come from? What will happen to the financing of these local groups? Our second major concern is that theaters are proven money losers, and we need to look no further than over in Appleton, which is a beautiful privately funded theater that requires millions in philanthropic donations just to balance its sheets annually. Our third major concern is that the Confluence will definitely raise your property taxes. And we've always found it interesting that the pro-Confluence groups from the very start, emphatically said that, no, your property taxes won't increase. But now even they admit that property taxes will go up. And our estimates are that a $150,000 home, and these are numbers calculated by one of our spokespersons who I'll be introducing here momentarily, who is a CPA and serves on city council, although he volunteers with us as a private citizen, that it will raise taxes $38 for the city. And for county residents, it'll be some increment of that, obviously minus the city portion. These are reasons that we say that for the county referendum, we encourage you to vote no. We don't want to pay. And for the city referendum, we encourage you to vote yes, I want to say. And one point we want to definitely bring up too, right out of the chute in this introduction, is that school referendums, by law in the state of Wisconsin, if they exceed $1 million, they require a referendum. We have some of the best schools in the state in Eau Claire, and our state has some of the best schools in the country. If asking the people to vote on referendums that exceed $1 million is so wrong, which is what the pro-Confluence people say, then why do we have such good schools? It's our view that the people will step forward. They will support things that make sense. If this project makes sense, they'll vote for it and they'll support it. I'll introduce our other spokespersons who are here today. Bob Von Hayden, I've already mentioned, is here as a private citizen, but he also serves on the city council. He is a retired CPA. And we're very fortunate also to have Mary Jo Cohen, who's been a long-term Eau Claire resident. She brings great leadership skills and lots of financial acumen herself, too. And Mary Jo's going to introduce a bit about the dynamics of our organization.
We have some people would say, bizarre organization. We are grassroots, and we cross the entire political spectrum, all the way from the environmental leftists. We even have an Occupy Wall Streeter in our group. To the far Christian right and everything in between, which would include history buffs, libertarians, fiscal conservatives, you name it, we've got it. Sometimes we're pretty dysfunctional, but surprisingly, we really get along because we have one issue at heart, and that's this Confluence Project. We are very concerned about our city. We are looking for sustainable solutions and ways to preserve our heritage wherever we can. We love our city. We are all volunteers. There's no developer money. There's no city DECI money and all the other things the city provides indirectly. We are on our own. Some of our things may look a little bit handmade. You've probably seen our banners. They definitely look handmade. We don't have yard signs. Can't afford them. We certainly aren't advertising on television. That is incredibly expensive. I don't know where these people find all that money. So it's all volunteer. It's all efforts. And currently we are knocking on doors and passing out materials and talking to the citizens. That's been our key to success to this date, and we're sticking with that strategy.
Bob Van Hayden, what brings you to this group, and what are your major concerns with this project?
Well, my major concerns for this gets primarily into the area of financial concerns. I take a look at the project itself and I say, what really are we talking about? You know, and a good example of this is, why would the city contribute $5.9 million, or over 20% of a private housing unit where they don't do that for any other group in the city? And I just don't understand why we'd even consider that. The other thing, as David mentioned, is we need an additional $200,000 in room tax money. Now, this is a wonderful thing, and hopefully we can generate that. But the problem with that is, to generate an additional $200,000 in room tax money, we would need an additional 71,000 new room stays in Eau Claire, which is over 20% of what we currently have. Now, obviously, because we have an established arts group already, we're not going to see that type of increase. So I'm not sure how they're projecting the numbers. As Dave said, theaters lose money and they want the city to be a backstop. Well, we don't even know to what extent that backstop would be and how much it would be. And these are the questions we need to have answered before we go forward with the project and to see how much they're willing to commit. And then, of course, there's a thing that originally started out on this that got us pretty much involved is, they said there would be no property tax increase. It's in a TIF district, and therefore, well, TIFs aren't free, and there will be a property tax increase. Now, they admit already on an impact on a $150,000 house in Eau Claire, it would be about $17 and $11 for a home in the county. But as Becky Nolan said, this is only a portion of the taxes that would be out there because we haven't approved the other projects, so we haven't defined what the costs would be associated with those. And as we've always talked about this, is it's not just related to the Confluence project, but it's all of the related items in the TIF 8 district that would result in this. So if all of the development is completed in TIF 8 and the necessary development that's in the Confluence area, as Dave previously stated, the tax increase in the city of Eau Claire would be approximately $38. And this is contingent on how much development is put into the thing. The county portion is relatively easy to compute because the $9 related, if the county would borrow $3.5 million in debt, the tax related to that is roughly $9. And then the remaining portion would relate to the amount of investment in new taxable construction. So this is what we're talking about. We just want to make sure that the taxpayers and the citizens are fully informed is what the potential is out there for costs associated with this.
Do you mind if I bring up one more financial thing, too? I think it's important for your listeners to know, because this has not really been articulated much at all, that our taxes in the city for our Eau Claire County are around $2,600, and for a median value $150,000 home. This is the bottom line. It puts us in the top 8% nationwide for rate of property taxation. We're already some of the most highly taxed individuals in our country, and our city debt has doubled since 2001. I know people get tired of numbers, but those are two really important things. Our debt is really high. Post-confluence, it should be around $2,300 for every man, woman, and child, and we're already paying the top 8%. So when these people say it's just a few lattes or it's just a little bit of that or this, it's pounding on top of it. It hurts renters, and it hurts the elderly.
This is one of the major concerns I have as our senior citizens. In the city of Eau Claire, we're very fortunate to have a lot of people with good incomes, but we also have a lot of people with low income, and we have a high population of our senior citizens. And those are the ones that are going to be hit the hardest by these property tax increases.
I'm curious. It's been in the paper a lot. The pro-Confluence groups will kind of criticize some of the numbers because you include things like the parking ramp and then the public plaza, which they claim are separate projects that were already kind of taken care of. Why include that in this whole number?
Well, first of all, it's not a different development. As most of the people are well aware, we keep talking about TIF 8. TIF 8 includes the Phoenix Park area, the North Barstow, and the South Barstow. So they're one and the same. In fact, the developers have linked, and this is a direct statement from the developers, that the JAMP project, the housing unit, the new hotel remodeling, all of those are linked to the Confluence project. So now for them to come back and say that the parking ramp, when we put it in the TIF 8 district as a potential that may happen someday in the future, it's not an approved project yet, but if it goes forward, the discussion was that it would be available for the theater if the Confluence project went forward, or even if the Confluence project doesn't go forward, it would be available for the current state theater for the needs of that. So, yes, it is in TIF 8, and it is, you can say it's slightly different, but it definitely is related to the project. And what we're talking about is the TIF 8 cost increase for property taxes. And so all of these projects are included, and this is what the seniors would have to pay for. So why would you not let the public know what they're going to be having to contribute? It isn't just for the Confluence alone. It's the whole project for the downtown Eau Claire project.
If you actually want to see the documentation, it is on the City Council website under budgets, TIF number 8. And if you read it, you will find first the timing is a year after the Confluence project was announced, mm-hmm. That the reference to the parking ramp refers to for the downtown and commercial areas. There's no specific reference to RCU or JAMF, which is what the pro-Confluence people are saying. It's pretty clear to me that it applies to the entire project and specifically to this theater project.
With the plaza is very interesting. We got an open space. If the project would go forward, we have a building here and a building here, and we've got a parking lot. Now, if they're saying that the cost to improve that area is not part of the project, then why would we do it? They've asked for it to be done. And then for them to say it shouldn't be part of the project, rather confusing.
And in fact, if there is no Confluence Theater, I presume there's no need to build that ramp.
This is why we need a referendum in August, which is what we would propose occurs. That's when we'll have elections again already. And all these things will be more vetted. Mary Jo, you attended their pro-Confluence Senior Center meeting last week, I think, didn't you? And they mentioned it was June first, that there may be some plan. Well, we're running out now with no plan, right?
Well, actually, there will be no plan regardless in terms of the theater and the student housing. And the statement was made, those things cost money to develop sketches, architectural drawings. So until the state actually indicates it will provide $25 million, there will be nothing, and there is nothing. There are no plans. If you ask a question, you can't even get square footage information. It's just, this is what we're going to do. The developers will determine what's best. In terms of an operating plan for the theater, that is required. The current Venue Works report is not legal under Wisconsin law because it assumes condominium ownership, joint ownership of the theaters. That's not allowable. You must designate specific areas. So that which Venue Works came up with is out the window. And there is a task force that is trying to come up with a operational plan. That plan will not be available until June 1, and that's because that's the deadline to provide it to the regents. So we really have no idea what the operating costs are. I know we continually talk about $200,000 in room rentals being adequate. We don't know what's going to be required. That's part of the Venue Works report, and as I said, that report is no longer valid.
Does your group think that there's been a concerted effort to try to keep some of this out of the public spotlight in order to rush the project through?
Well, my opinion on this has always been, because I've been related to this for a number of years now of information that's come forward, I think what they tried to do was to get the project going forward on the basis that it's going to be good for downtown Eau Claire, in their opinion, and that it'll be another jump start for the city. And therefore, no matter what the costs are, the benefits would far outweigh it. And I think this is what we're trying to say is, whoa, slow down here. Let's look at what the costs are and then let the citizens make a decision if they feel that the costs associated with this project far make up enough for the benefits they'll get from it. And this is where it's fair. I don't think they were trying to deliberately not inform the public, but they were just pushing forward so fast that they didn't look at all of the details and didn't think about, well, what are the concerns of our seniors and the other people in the community?
I don't think the media has asked enough questions. You know, our local paper, you know, the editorial board has been very strong in promoting it. And, you know, why haven't they been challenging more about this tax question? Why is it driven from our group? These are very valid questions. I mean, when you're going to ask for this kind of monetary local property tax dollar funds, it's reasonable that people get answers to their questions. If this was a private donor, maybe even a private donor working with the Board of Regents, well, then who are we to challenge it? Just as a local person. But when they're coming here with their hand out wanting so much assistance, outright gifts, you know, in the form of what these taxpayer bonds funds are, then I think it's very reasonable.
It's very sad, I might add, as well. We had a viable plan for Barstow Street, and everything was put on halt because of this Confluence project. So as a result, the Acoustic Cafe was going to move into the Klein Building, which is one of the most gorgeous buildings you could imagine, and it would have been wonderful. The old NSP or Excel building was supposed to be refurbished into condominiums on the above floors, probably another restaurant on the lower floor. The Scandinavian Import Shop has been there for 43 years, and that place really does get traffic. People come from all over the country to visit, and it's unique. And then finally, there was a beautiful little restaurant next door, which was available for rent. So that block could have really cooked with some very nifty items, and it would have preserved our heritage because those are some of the most historical buildings in the city.
Now, Voters with Facts, is the group officially opposed to the project or just trying to get information to the voters to make their minds up?
Our official position is that we want the voters to decide this project. Some of us have differing opinions, you know, on whether we strongly oppose it or we agree with it if, but that's our official position. Wouldn't you all agree?
Yes, yes. Vote your heart on the county, but vote yes for the city to give yourself an opportunity to vet this project.
We want to make sure the taxpayers and the citizens of Eau Claire are fully informed of what the pros and cons are for the project. They can then make the decision because I fully believe that the taxpayers and citizens of Eau Claire are intelligent enough to make the appropriate decision, even though some of our people on the city council don't think they have that ability.
Now, with the referendum questions, the county question is pretty straightforward.
Yes.
But some people might be confused by the city question. Explain that, if you would.
You know, you're right. The county is a very simple one. Do we want to give $3.5 million or not? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. On the city one, unfortunately, because of the way charter ordinances work and the way our city council put forth some of their resolutions, the only way that it could be is we had to create what they call a charter ordinance. And to do a charter ordinance, you can't talk about the project specifically. You had to talk about a general concept. And so the concept that we came up with is if any project that would exceed $1 million in scope related to the arts, et cetera, would need to go to referendum. The key thing that was in there, it said that when it goes to referendum, you would have to submit the appropriate data, the costs, the size, the shape, all of the definitions of the project so that the voters would be properly informed. And this is what we wanted to do. So unfortunately, we have to go through the process of having a vote on a referendum to have a future referendum on the project. But it is relatively simple. They will say that this is a very costly thing because it's going to cost the taxpayers a lot of money. No, they don't have to do that because they can put it on a future election at the same time, and therefore there's no additional cost for it other than the printing of the information on the ballot. But it will then give the voters the opportunity to express their opinion. So it's important to remember that on April 1st, you're voting on a referendum to vote on the future referendum.
It gives you a say on projects that are $1 million or higher.
Well, with regards to that, I'm wondering, there have been some calls from people saying that this question, it's singling out the arts, that the city bonds for things all the time worth more than $1 million. But it seems there's extra attention being paid to funding a building that would be specifically for the arts.
Actually, there are very few over $1 million projects. If you look at the capital, the city's capital funding for the future, there are very, very few. So I know there's some concerns we'd be tying the city's hands. We would not be tying the hands. As far as the language used, as Bob indicated, based on the way the pledge was written, we could not be specific because if we were specific, it would not be deemed legal legislation. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to tie this referendum so that everyone knew that it applied to the confluence. So as such, we did include information about the arts and made it general enough so that we would pass muster in terms of direct legislation, but specific enough so people would know, yes, this pertains to this confluence project.